This segment proudly brought to you by Capital Air.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. 3 minutes after 11 Central African time. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. And of course, our beloved engineer this morning, none other than Brother Bonface, with me, of course, who will be joining me shortly, none other than our beloved senior, respected, honorable Fadilatul Ustad, who's with us in Durban at the moment. I want to welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and company, and I want to welcome the listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It's the 28th of October, 2020, corresponding to the 11th of Rabi'ul Awwal, 1442. Well, our WhatsApp number 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Well, let's go to Durban this beautiful Wednesday morning, the bliss of marriage, part 2. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Arafat, jazakallahu khairan.
Ustad, there's a listener saying that Mufti Saab, I am a girl in niqab in parda. How do I find my ideal man?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, remember millions of ladies were in niqab, are in niqab, and will always be in niqab, insha'Allah al-Aziz. So you should never ever consider it as a negative for you. Always, as a Muslim, Muslimah, we must remain positive in the mercy of Almighty Allah. Surah, verse number 53. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never become disappointed, disillusioned, despondent in the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. All of you, my brothers, sisters, who want to get married first time, you are never married before. Daily read 2 rakat salat, nafil salat, after Zuhr, after Maghrib, after Isha, tahajjud time, 3 o'clock, up past 3. And or at Ishraq time, mashallah, 15 minutes or so after sunrise. And you read Surah 25, verse 74. Surah 25, Surah Furqan, and that is the criterion, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa zurriyatina qurrata ayun. Oh, beloved Allah, grant us such spouses and such progeny and children that are the coolness of the eyes. You, the parents, grandparents, obviously you are worried about your beloved flowers and children, grandchildren. So you should be reading the same surah, Surah 25 and verse number 54. And that is, وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاهِ بَشَرًا, that He, Almighty Allah, created this human being from the semen and sperm. فَجَعَلَهُ نَسَبًا وَسِهْرًا, and He, Almighty Allah, made for him the lineage and the in-laws. So read that, inshallah, and Almighty Allah will make easy for you.
Listener would like to remain anonymous, Ustad. Woman gets married second time without being divorced from first husband. I would like to remain anonymous, Ustad.
Remember that in a case like that, if the lady was not divorced from her first husband, and Allah forbid she gets married to somebody else, that second nikah, so-called nikah, is null and void, and it is batil. And if she's living with that so-called second husband, every moment they are under the curse of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. And remember, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, He is going to make their children and save, and their children will all become haram children. So that is a common sense also. If you are somebody else's wife, then how can you get married to somebody else without a divorce from the first person? So Allah Ta'ala's curse, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's curse is on such a couple that they are playing and making a mockery of the Sharia, Allah forbid. So totally haram, and if they consider it permissible, they go right out of the fold of Islam as well.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Somebody says, ya Ustaz, that my late husband passed on and I remarried. He has left the house for me in his will. Now that I'm remarried, does my new husband inherit this house after my demise? Or does this house go towards my late husband's family, Ustaz?
Remember that your husband passed away and then everything finished, and that was the 130 days, and that house you inherited from your husband. Now if you predecease your husband and you have a child or children and so forth, so this current husband will only inherit 25%. So he won't inherit the entire house and all your money and jewelry and so forth, only one quarter, 25%, and then the remainder will go to your parents, if your parents are alive, 1/6, 1/6, or 1/3 collectively, they will inherit. And thereafter, your children will inherit. His children will not inherit from you. So remember, the shares will be, if you pass away before him, the second husband of yours, so he will inherit 25%. And if your parents are alive, both of them, one of them, then 1/6, 1/6. And that is 1/3. Collectively, and it will be shared 1/6, 1/6 for father and mother, your parents, biological parents, and then the residue remainder will go to your children, and ratio 2:1, 2 for your sons, and 1:1 each for your daughters.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. 084-786-3132. I have a daughter, Mufti Saab, who is 26 years old. We are really worried about her marriage as nothing seems to be working out at all. She had many, many proposals, but none of them worked. As soon as we think something's going to work out, it ends. This is troubling us a lot, dear Mufti Saab. We will appreciate if you may kindly suggest a kind solution. Ustad.
Remember that parents are concerned about their daughters, and this is from time immemorial. Therefore, in Arabic, we have a saying, "Hammul banat ilal mamat," that people are worried about their daughters, especially till death. When they are young, then will they get, good education, or will they have good spouses and husbands? And then will the marriage work? Then how will their children be? And all these worries, they keep on accumulating and get compounded and so forth. So anyway, you and your daughter must remain positive in the mercy of Almighty Allah. Mustafa Rahmatul Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَوَسَاجِدُونَ. The nearest the servant comes to Almighty Allah's mercy is when that servant is in sajda. Allah give tawfiq, tahajjud time, you wake up, you go into sajda, you cry, you beg, you beseech, petition Almighty Allah, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ dua. The hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, make abundant dua, and that posture there. So inshallah, dua can change taqdeer also sometimes and occasionally. الدُّعَى يَرُدُّ الْقَدَرُ, the hadith in Tirmidhi. So don't be negative, give out charity, read Quran Sharif daily, and Almighty Allah will send somebody who is very, very good for your daughter, inshallah al-Aziz.
Mufti Saab, my question relates to my husband. Alhamdulillah, my husband is a good man, and alhamdulillah, we don't have any problems, but I am annoyed with one habit, Mufti Saab. He can't lower his gaze, Ustad. It really hurts me, especially when I see this behavior. Is this a common problem, Ustad?
You must remember this. Nowadays, it is a big and common problem. So what you need to do is don't upset your marriage. So you do things from the house. You tell your hubby that from today and tonight is the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, mashallah, the Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what you should be doing is you tell hubby that we're going to start ta'aleem. And that is you take Riyadu Salihin by Allama Nawawi rahimahullah, whichever language you know. you will find the translation, you know English, you know Urdu, you know whatever other languages. So just go and buy the book if you don't have it, Riyadu Salihin. And daily you read from there the ahadith and so forth. So Allah Jalla Wala will increase the Iman and the Noor of Iman. The radiance and effulgence of Iman will increase. And then slowly, slowly you will see that his heart, his mind, everything will change for the better. And he will start lowering his gaze. Likewise, the books of Hazrat Shaykh Mawlana Zakariya Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, all the Fazail Quran, Fazail Zikr, Fazail Durood Sharif. So all these books you read, mashallah, 5-10 minutes daily, then you will see that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will make your house a madrasa. Allah will make your house a khanka. Allah will make your house a house of da'wat and tabligh. The most important secret in this is consistency is the key. Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, hadith in Sahih Muslim and Mishkat Sharif Mustafa Ahmad, Ahabbul A'mali ilallah adwamuha wa in qalla. The most beloved action by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is the one where there is consistency, although quantity wise it is little bit. So every day 10 minutes, 7 minutes, 9 minutes in 24 hours is little, but if you do so daily, punctually, regularly, Allah Jalla Wala will bring a huge, huge transformation there in your house and in your marriage, and inshallah that you don't have any other problem besides this. Your husband loves to ogle and stay and so forth, and show him the verses, Surah 24, Surah Nur, and verses number 30 and 31. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men they must lower their gazes. It's compulsory. وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ, and protect the private part. The more we start ogling, staring, then remember, then people tend to get involved. Today with the internet, today with pornography, today with everything on sale, that is the Western capitalistic secular system, that people are selling everything. They sell their bodies and everything, Allah forbid. And tell the women, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْدُدُنَّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظُنَّ فُرُوجَهُمْ. And the believing women must also lower their gazes and protect their private part. And remember this ogling, staring at the opposite gender. Hadith in Kanzul Ummal, Sahmun min Sihami Iblis, is one of the poisonous arrows of the shaitan. And if you want to understand true Iman, if a person lowers his gazes solely only for the pleasure of Almighty Allah, his gaze, he lowers it, then he will sense and feel and perceive halawatul iman. We know the sweetness of mitai. We know the sweetness of the sweet meat. We know the sweetness, you must remember, of sugar and honey. But there is another taste, and that is called halawatul iman, the sweetness of iman as well. And the recipe, prescription for that is ghadul basar, to lower the gaze, and Almighty Allah will bless the person with that as well. Allah Jalla Wala grant all of us tawfiq. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen.
Ustad, Mrs. Adrian's daughter, she says that she's planning on getting married soon. She wants to settle down. So she's asking what's the best way to find out if the boy is a good boy or not. She says that her mother told her to ask you. How should they go about, Ustad? Mrs. Adrian's daughter.
What you have to do, Mrs. Adrian's daughter, is this, that I'm giving you the same advice I will give my daughter or any Muslim lady and so forth who wants to settle down. So you must read, write it down, I'll repeat it twice, or you can record it. Allahumma, or you say it in English, it's fine. Allahumma, O beloved Allah, O beloved Supreme Being, khirli, 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 you select the best for me. Wakhtarli, and you choose for me. We have various ahadith compilations. Ahadith refer to the statements and the sayings and the verdicts of the Master, Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this dua, this supplication and dua is found in Tirmidhi Sharif. Come, let's read it again. Daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Adrian, Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. For you who know Arabic, the kha and the ra, khe and re. Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. Whatever comes after you read that, now the person who you're interested in, his name is Tom, Dick, or Harry. So you do it individually for Tom, for Dick, or whoever. And in that way there, you read this dua and supplication. Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. What does your heart say? If your heart feels positive and you are happy, your mother is happy and so forth, then you go ahead. But remember, if you got doubt or you got negative, then just call it off. And one word of advice. In Islam, we will always advocate and teach people that once you are positive, you are happy, your family is happy, then try and get married as soon as possible. For example, you want to settle down, so our advice to you, my daughter, sister, will be that you settle down now, 2020, nie volgende jaar nie, not following year and next year, because then there's too much all that, you know, chat and socializing on the WhatsApp and on the email, flying to the females and all the social media and all. And that definitely is unacceptable and not healthy. So therefore, that will be our advices to you. And inshallah, you pray to the one and only God and Supreme Being, and He will guide you and show you the truth as well.
Mufti Sahib, I have a son. Not one day did his father ask about him. I mean, not one day. Nor did he ever support him. We are separated for 25 years, Ustad. Now that my son is a millionaire, his father wants to be his friend. Should I allow this?
Yes, the question is a bit hazy also. That you say that your father has not supported the son and you separated. What do you mean by this? Do you mean that he is talaq, that the husband gave you talaq, or the marriage is still there, but because it's a stale marriage, it's a rocky marriage, you're leading your own lives. He lives in one country, one city, one town, and you living. So we need to know that as well. Second one is this, whatever it is, that it was the father's duty that he had to maintain that son and what have you. Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat, now that son, the father thought he will never make it without his help and assistance. Today that son is much more richer and wealthier than the father and, you know, whoever he has with him. So, end of the day, remember the father did the wrong. So we can never justify that. But that does not mean you, as a mother, must give the wrong advice to your son and say that, see, your father did this, your father did this, your father did this. So you just have a tie with him and have nothing with him. No. That is against what the Quran is teaching my mother, my sister. Now let's go to Quran Sharif, chapter 47, Surah Muhammad, the Surah chapter named after the Master, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, chapter 47, verses 22-23. In tawallaytum, if and when you have authority. So now your son is a big shot and he's got millions and he's giving you also. So you also have authority. And tufsid do fil ard, that you cause mischief, mayhem, chaos on this earth. Wa tuqatti'u arhamakum, and you cause family, that you cause to sever ties now. So now you become the means to sever ties. Tell him go fly a kite. Tell him to go to hell. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So that is not what Islam is teaching. If you and your son do that, so both of you will be guilty. If divorce has taken place, obviously, the iddat and all that is finished. So you and he, so you all are strangers. You got nothing to do with one another. But your son, whether he treated him well or didn't do that, remember, he will pay for it. But in all cases, your son has to reconcile with his father, even after 5 years, 10 years, 20, 25 years, whatever the case might be. Otherwise, this is the warning, the wa'id, and the stern warning which Allah is giving. If he continues severing ties with his father, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ, those are the people Allah Ta'ala curses them. فَأَصْوَمَّهُمْ, Almighty Allah makes them spiritually deaf, وَأَعْمَىٰ أَبْصَارَهُمْ, spiritually blind. So son, your father made a mistake, there's no doubt about it. He's guilty of a major sin, but that should not make you guilty. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Ustad, they are divorced.
What happened?
They are divorced, Ustad.
Right, they are divorced. So fine. So you and your ex-husband, remember, you all are strangers. So you don't have to speak in all letter. But he has to maintain ties with his father. And that is obligatory, mandatory upon him. So there, and you must not prevent him as a mother. Remember that. That's what I'm trying to say. And don't poison his mind as well. So let him go to his father. And if he wants to give his millions, 100,000, 5,000, 10,000, to his father, you should not become jealous and so forth. It's his father, it's his biological father. His father passes away, he will inherit. Another thing you should know, that your son, Allah gives him long life, but if he passes away, you will inherit by virtue of being the mother. But his father, that although he did not take care of him, if he, the son, predeceases his father will inherit because he is the biological father. Mm. So that is what Islam says in that regard.
Mm. Subhanallah. I have a trend to keep a husband only for a year before they die. I am on my 8th husband already. I don't want to lose this one too, Mufti Saab. Will I be in Jannah with all of them? Ustad, anonymous.
Well, let me get the question right. You're trying to tell me that you had 7 husbands and all of them after 1 year, they passed away?
Gee.
So what you feeding them? So you must remember that we better look at the menu. It's a dangerous thing that you are feeding them. And you must remember that after 1 year, patiyu bicharo. So you must remember he's finished. Tired, retired, and passed away. One takala ila rahmatillah. If what you are really saying is true, then you must remember that is a test and a trial from Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. And remember, nobody knows where death will occur and when it will occur. That is only in the knowledge of Almighty Allah. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٌ. So nobody knows. So you and your husband, both of you make dua together and say, Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadudu. Oh Allah, you are the creator of love. Enhance the love between me and my husband. Both of you should be reading, Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiya. Oh beloved Allah, we beg of you forgiveness. We beg of you afiya. Give us long life, healthy life. We are not muhtaj, dependent on people. We dependent on you, Ya Allah. Grant us safety, security. So, and give out charity daily. Inshallah, Allah that I will give the 8th husband no long life, inshallah. And remember, you will be with him, your last husband. So that is what the hadith in Tabarani says, Ma'akhiri azwajia, that the lady will be with one husband, not 18 husbands, one husband you'll be with in Jannah and Paradise, and that will be your last husband. So better look after him nicely and ask him what is his diet and menu and change the diet. Remember what you gave the previous 7. So they got finished, bichara, with the diet, or Allah alone knows what happened there.
Ustad, the sister says, it is true, Mufti Saab. I went to the Rukya people, they said that I was cursed. So Ustad, G.
Remember, leave all those Rukya people and all of that. They will make so many more stories. What is Rukya? This morning, somebody asked me a question. I told them, she didn't ask me that, but it was a lady. And she was asking, I said, you don't have to go to any Rukya people, nothing. It's another money-making gimmick also. So you must remember, and that is, that you know Surah Fatiha, you know Ayatul Kursi, you know the 4 quls. So you just read that, and you blow daily on yourself. You read it after the first salat, you read it after, before sleeping, you read it, you understand, when you know, making dua and so forth. So that is Rukya. Rukya means to read Quranic verses and blow on yourself. Now it's a simple formula. For what the need is there, I'm asking you. Must go here, go there. And those people put 101 negative things in your mind. So just leave all of them and you do yourself. Remember these things.
So dear Ustad, I brought my kids up with namaz, what Salah. Since I brought a TV box in our home, Salah has vanished, dear Mufti Saab. I even get threatened. If I switch it off, I am at fault. How do I rectify this? I am fighting against Shaitan. Anonymous sister, Ustad.
Yeah, but my sister, who brought the Shaitan box? You said TV box, we said the Shaitan box. Who brought it? If you brought it, then you are guilty. You must take it out and smash it because you bought it and finish. End of the story. Nobody can tell you anything. And if your husband brought it, then tell him he must smash it to pieces because he brought the Shaitan box. So both of you, you and your husband, you have to cry to Allah. Surah 14 and verse number 40. Surah 14. 14:14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 40:40. Ya Allah, make us of those type of people. We perform salat on time and we establish salat. We encourage others to read. Wa min zurriyati, and my progeny, my children as well. Khalilullah, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, would recite this dua. Allah jalla wala blessed him. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam first with Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. Thereafter with Nabi Ishaq alayhi salatu salam, barakat of dua also, with Rabbi Habli min as-salihin, chapter 37, verse 100. So remember, read Surah 14, Surah to Ibrahim, verse number 40, abundantly. But you brought the shaitan right in the house. We bring all these satanic things in the home. It's like bringing poison in the house, and we want shifa and cure. It's not going to happen. So you brought it, and now that you children are addicted. The small one busy with a cartoon. The big one busy with a Hollywood, Robert Hood. The other one busy with a pornography. So now that's why they're threatening you. So what the time we are living in? Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, Ashratu Sa'a. What are the signs of Qiyamah? Habibuna Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Antalid al Amatu Rabbataha. The lady will give birth to a master, meaning the children will become the masters, and the mother, father, and especially the mother will be considered as the slave. Allah forbid. So that is why, remember, we must put down our foot and not give in to the children. I told you the other day, if truth be told, majority of our children are just spoiled brats. That's what they are. And they just cry a little bit, and then the mother, father say, no, we'll do it your way. So you must be the one to set the rules, and not they set the rules. You are causing them, you must remember, harm. One day, I was telling somebody yesterday, day we were in Stenger. Allah reward the brothers in Stenger. I was telling them, I was with my honorable Ustad, Hafiz Ibrahim Limalia. I told him, you know how strict Hafiz was. Hafiz used to pick up weights, you know. So the people asked him, for what you picking up weights? They say, no, these youngsters, they must know they are sabak. So you just see Hafiz, you know, that time he was in his prime. Allah give him long life. So me, I'm going there to meet him this afternoon, inshallah. So our honorable Ustad, we can't forget. So at that time, you must remember the Ustad or the parent seems very strict. But later on in life, you will be indebted to him forever that they taught you what is true life. They taught you what is true discipline. They made a man out of you, or they made you a proper Muslimah, a proper lady who will become an ambassador of Islam and not ambassador of Shaitan. So today we are the ones, we're making our children the ambassadors of Shaitan. So remember these type of things here. So you are the one who brought the TV, the mother or father, you take it and smash it to pieces and tell them this is the rules in this house here. So you must remember why, what need is to give every son, daughter of yours one cell phone. But we are the ones, we encourage all this. Then we say, oh, that they're wasting so much time with the phone, they're posting so much time with the internet, wasting so much time with the TV. But who provided all these satanic things to them? So that is the big question. Surah 16. 36, verse number 6. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourself and your children from the fire. Hadith Bukhari Sharif. Mustafa rahmatul lil alamin sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyya. Every one of you is a shepherd of his flock, and you will be questioned regarding your flock. So tomorrow we will be questioned whether I am the father, whether I am the mother, whether I am the teacher. So when you have, whether you are the husband, you have authority. So we must exercise that authority in the correct manner.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. 26 minutes to 12. The sister says here, dear respected Mufti Saab, please make dua for me. My husband passed away 3 years ago. He was shot in his shop, and I still mourn for him, dear Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, I'm 33 years of age. My son is becoming a Hafizul Quran. And yesterday, my son comes to me and says that his Ustad is interested in marrying me. He wants my number. What do I do, Ustad? Of course, his Ustad is married as well. Do I take that advice? Do I go forward or not, Ustad?
Okay, here we have three issues. Issue number one, Allah Jalla Wala grant your husband who was martyred, murdered 3 years ago. He passed away as a shaheed. Amen. Remember that tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, he will be resurrected. Lawnu damuhu lawnu dam and rihuhu rihul misk, that the blood will be oozing, gushing out. For me and you, it will look like blood that's coming out, but the fragrance, remember, will be that of musk and mist. And this is authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustada Ahmad. So inshallah, Allah will grant him the highest stages of Jannatul Firdaus. He will be resurrected with the Shuhada and the martyrs. Second one, it was very, very inappropriate for that Ustad now to tell your son, who you sent there as an amanat, that he must teach him hifz. So your son now, if you're 33, maybe he's 15 years old or what have you. So you must remember that 13, 14, 15 years old. Now imagine that he go tell him, give me your mother's number. And you know, I'm interested in this, you know. So that is very, very wrong. Now you say no, so he might even hold that grudge against your son. So you must remember that. Personally, I will tell you to say no. You must remember that. Why you should say no? That, remember, 80%, 75% of the Muslim men today, across the board, across the world, that they don't practice on that Quranic verse. Quran Kareem states, Surah 4, verse number 3, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. That if you have 2, 3, 4 wives, then you must do justice. And if you fear you can't do justice, then you just stick with one wife. So that is my advice to you. And you must tell him, that son of yours, that no, you're not giving your number, and he also must not give the number. And if he does obtain your number somehow, then tell him that what he's doing is absolutely un-Islamic. His job was to teach your son, for which you are paying most probably, is not to come send messages to desert your son and tell him that he's interested in you and so forth. That is now unethical and un-Islamic.
The sister says, Barakallahu fikum, Ustad. The next listener says, Ustad, what is a sin breaking someone's home? Ustad?
Remember, here is a two-part, three-part question. If the first part of the question is, what is a sin? So Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained everything to us. And the hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. The hadith is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad. We should learn all these things. Ma haqa fi sadrik. That you must remember, which agitates your mind, which works on your heart, at your conscience. You say, Mera zameer kabool nahi karta. My conscience, my heart does not accept it. Well, second part, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, Wa karihta ayyat paliya alayhi nas. You dislike the public, the masses to come about it, clandestine activities. Today, after I spoke to you, Maulana, then we read Fajr Salat there. I gave them some advices and so forth. So one brother told me that, you see, this one shop here, this is owned by non-Muslims, but they got halal certificate. So I said that, now how is that, I'm asking. You must remember that the owner, all non-Muslims. So now what they will do, they just put one Muslim there as a manager. So I am asking two, three questions. What happens when that Muslim manager is sick? He doesn't come to job. What happens Jummah time, Salah time, when he's gone for half an hour, 1 hour? Can we really be honest about it, place our trust on these so-called halal organizations? So these halal logos are just a gimmick. It's money-making gimmicks, these things here. Selling Islam. Quran says, "Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghayb." So you must remember, you believe in the unseen. But they made it yu'minuna bil jayb. The money has become sweeter than the honey. And they fool and deceive the people. And people also just look for shortcuts, majority of them. So therefore, these type of issues is not only regarding marriage, it's across the board. Mahaka fi sadrik, that what is a sin? That which agitates your mind, it works on your conscience. Wa karihta ayyatali alayhi nas, you dislike the people to come to know about it. Now you asked and posed the question, you were married, somebody came, and then they start making propaganda, fabrication, and they broke your marriage. You must remember that. Put stories in the husband's mind, put stories in the wife's mind, and so forth. So people who do that, Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, they are munafiqeen, they're hypocrites, and such people, there's no Jannah and paradise for them. You open Mishkat Sharif and that you will find this type of a hadith. So therefore, it's not a sin only, it's a major, major sin. And you must remember, our aim must be to make the marriage and not break the marriage. And then they break the marriage, and then they want that that person must get married to their brother or sister or nephew and niece, Allah forbid. So we must understand what is a sin and what are the consequences of the sin. Allah Jalla Wala protect us all.
Ustad, the sister is asking, what can she read? She's going through a tough time, Ustad.
So we don't know what is really happening, but anyway, whenever a person is in difficulty, always read Surah 3, verse 173, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. The Quran is telling you, the person came from Makkah to Medina and told the Muslims, Inna nasa qad jama'u lakum fakshawhum, that they're mobilizing, organizing the army there in Makkah to come and fight you. You must fear them. So this was a propaganda. But these were Sahaba, students, companions of Mustafa, Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Instead of getting terrified, petrified, so Allah speaks about what happened to them internally and externally. Internally, فَزَادَهُمْ imana. Their iman increased, subhanAllah. People today, when they are threatened, then the iman decreases, but yet increased. And then they said, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Allah is a sufficient for us. Allah is the best one to take care of our matters and affairs. So you, brother, sister, whoever is going through all these problems, read Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, Surah 3, chapter 3, verse 173, and read with that, chapter 22, Surah Hajj, verse 78, the last verse, and that is wa ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir, that Allah Jalla wala is the best protector, and Almighty Allah is the best helper. So read that, inshallah, and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will make it easy for you.
Ustad, one more question, then we go, inshallah, for an interval. The brother says, Dear Mufti Saab, I'm looking for your number and I need to speak to you urgently. I married a Moroccan woman. Recently, some Moroccan man came home to ask for help. My wife said it is her relative. I do not speak Arabic, Mufti Saab, but my wife was translating for me what he was saying, fast forward. Now I came to find out this was not a relative, but her ex-boyfriend. And now they are having an affair. Please advise, I really want to hit him and break his bones, black and white. What do I do? I took away her phone too. Can I come and see you, Ustad? Anonymous brother.
No need to come and see me. The damage is done, you must remember. Therefore, we always warn people, Islam allows you to marry across the culture. You got married, South African, and you said, I to Moroccan niche, I to bohari lage, wah wah, mane to hur malik yu dunyama. Those of you who don't know what I'm speaking, you're still on the right station, my brother. I just spoke what people speak today. That you see, South Africa, if you know our history, we had apartheid, you understand? So the Indian could only marry Indian and so forth. African marry African, like that it was. White marry white. But then 25, 26 years in democracy, now everybody is, you know, you can marry who you want to. So now they found the Arab lady from Morocco, and she was a paragon of beauty. Whether she had character, taqwa, all that, who bothers about that? So as long as she's beautiful, but he can't speak one word Arabic properly, only know Bismillah, you know, and Alhamdulillah. So now she realized that that's what I am, we can make him a milking cow. So now one chap came and he said that, oh, I'm the cousin, I'm the relative, I'm the family of this lady, her name's Zainab, example. His name Rashad, for example. So you must remember, so Rashad told him, this husband, that I'm the family, so you must help me out. And she also added all the masala and all the chutney and everything else, you know, added the pickle and masala and everything. So then, now they use you. So what do you keep such a wife? Straight away, you must just divorce her, end of the story. So if she's so immoral, she took your money, she's sleeping and having an affair with that person according to what you're saying, so why must you keep her? So you must remember that the Quran says, At-tayyibah tulit-tayyibin, Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse 26, the pure woman for the pure man, Al-khabithatu lil-khabithi, that male day is khabith, your wife, according to you, has become khabitha, that she's having an affair with that person there. So I'm asking you, and they're milking you using your money, so why must you keep her? And you have to blame yourself also. So you must remember, how could you be so gullible that now saying I want to hit him and all that? No, you are to blame more. They are committing haram, but you are to blame. Why did you get married to her in the first place? Ask yourself that. Was it because of her piety? Was it because of her character? No. It was because of her jamal, that she was so beautiful. And when you looked at her, you said you got the beauty in your arms, in your hand. So when that was your aim, and now she found you not so interesting, her old flame came back to her. So then they said, let's make him. And they spoke Arabic on top of it. And you were making Amin, Amin, Bawaharu, Amin. So, brother, you must just forget this. Learn from history, your own history. That's why they call it history. Break it up. It is his story. So that is your story. Forget all this hitting business. Forget meeting me. There's no need for all that. You give her one talaq a buy-in, and finish it up. If she makes tawbah, does that, then you want to reconcile. That's your business. But that is my advice to you.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. Well, it's 14 minutes to 12. We go for a quick interval. When we come back, we will continue, inshallah, with the bliss of marriage. Stay tuned.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah.
11 minutes to 12. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning on the Bliss of Marriage Part 2. I don't know how is the weather there in Durban, but we're going to ask Ustad. How is the weather there in Durban? Ustad, are you there with us? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wonderful, wonderful weather. Whilst I was driving from there, Umslanga, to hear Sherwood, my niece's place, Hafiz Umar's place, mashallah, that he's her husband, so mashallah, that her son also is Hafiz, mashallah. I was looking at the temperature, it was showing 26, 27 degrees, so mashallah, nice summer's day here, and it's holiday, so you see a lot of people from GP, the gangster's paradise are here in Durban, you know, so you must remember from the Gauteng region, the year, and it's holiday and so forth, and mashallah, after this, then after Zohar, we'll go and visit our Honorable Ustad, Hafiz Ibrahim Limalia as well. And tonight, after Maghrib, inshallah, our main program today, on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, Miladun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam night, will be in Avondale. That is run by the Capital Group. So, Bahaji Mama Muhammad Ikhlas and Haji Muhammad Hussein, Haji Ahmed Tahir, the brothers. Allah Ta'ala reward all of them and their families. So inshallah, that is our program for today, inshallah Aziz.
Sister wants to know from Lodia Mustad, what's happening tonight on the 12th of Rabi'ul Awal? They say that they all are getting together and they're going for supper, Ustad.
You must remember, these are things me, I don't agree with. I just told you just now that you say you're going for supper. Where are you going for supper? So you must remember that they're going to a restaurant, and the restaurant got a big halal certificate. So these halal logos, remember, I told you 101 times, they're not worth the paper on which they are written. The chicken you're going to eat, 99% of them are stunned. So therefore, when you eat these type of animals, then you must remember our thinking and thought process also gets warped just like that. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic hadith mentioned, you must remember, in Abu Dawood, Inna Allah katab al ihsan ala kulli shay. Verily, Almighty Allah jalla wa ala has prescribed and ordained that you do good to every creation of Allah. Fa idha zabahtum fa ahsinu. Even when you slaughter, then you must do good to the animal. But today, what happens? We live in a secular world. People want to promote the new world order. People want to promote capitalism, make maximum amount of money, remember, in minimum time. And you must remember, who got time for religion? They'll tell you human rights, animal rights, all this in lip service. Human rights, but abortion is legal by them, in murder in Islam. And remember that stunning the animal, totally haram in Islam. And that is torture for the animals. But you see, in today's world, and then you put a halal stamp, halal logo. So remember that me, we don't agree with these things here. And for what you have to go out? You must eat at home. It's halal and tayyiba. Not one restaurant can give you that. You must remember that it's halal and tayyiba. Mm. It's 100% halal, 100% tayyib, pure, wholesome, and so forth. And tonight you say 12th of Rabiul Awal, you should be reading abundant Durood Sharif, salawat, salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last night, if you want my talk, just send me a message now. 071-888-1184, and I will send you the lecture in which we spoke about Iraha, Satun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the extraordinary events that took place prior to the Mubarak and auspicious birth of the Master Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And tonight we will speak about inshallah, inshallah, Aziz Miladun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happened during the time of the Mubarak blessed birth of the Master alayhi salam and related issues. So that is what we must learn, and not go and say, no, we just now I must go for a good chow. I can't understand our people's mentality, you know. So you must remember, the name is Maryam, but Maryam's thought process is just like Mary. The name is Bilal. Bilal's thinking and thought process is just like Bali. That is not what Islam is all about. Because we behave just like the non-Muslims, you must remember. Therefore, they look at us and wonder which kind of Muslims we are. If we became good Muslims, practicing Muslims, ambassadors of Islam, so remember, thousands of people would embrace Islam. Because, remember, we are promoting teaching, the real teaching of Quran Sharif and the direct speech of Almighty Allah, the real teaching of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I would never advise anybody that because now is 12 Rabiul Awal, go to this restaurant. So we don't teach all these things. We are against it totally.
Ustad, Dr. Sab wants to know, do the Shia celebrate as well the 12th of Rabiul Awal, Ustad?
Remember, the Shias, number one, you must know they are kuffar, they are out of the fold of Islam. Any person who swears and curses Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, and Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So these are the senior Sahaba, without a shadow of doubt. You must remember, such people are murtad, out of the fold of Islam. And majority of the Shias do that. I've been to all these countries, so don't come tell me about what's happening here and there. You go to Iran, you go to Iraq, you go to there, you will see Pakistan, all this you will see is happening there. One. Number two is the India also you will see it happening. Then next one, you must remember that they gave me the books. Khomeini writes in his book, Tawdihul Masail. You can make muta, prostitution, for 1 hour. I'm asking you, go ask the Shias, which one of them is prepared to give their daughter for 1 hour? So you must remember that that's a bait they use, so they can get more people on their side, and they use it against our Sunni girls. They say, no, my brother, we must be united, my brother, and our enemy is my brother. They speak like that. America and Israel, you and Israel, same as far as we are concerned. So you must remember that we must be united and all. And then they get married to your daughter. After 2 months, 3 months, they send her back. They say, no, we were making muta. How many incidents we know? So parents now come to me. Before they thought we were talking nonsense. When it happened to them, then their eyes opened up. So remember, that is Khomeini Azam, that is Shia Azam. Allah's curse is on all of them. And they promote and advocate this muta, prostitution. And it's rife and rampant. You don't believe me? Just go to BBC and go to their documentaries and just see that their secret journalist went in and he gave all the information out and what is happening there in Iraq and all these places, how they promote the prostitution. So do you think Islam ever allows that? So you must say, two things the Kuffar Shia have promoted, and that no religion, Jews, Christians, Hindus, Buddhists, they also will not allow it. But these Kuffar Shias, they are promoting it. One is that is muta, prostitution, and one is taqiyya, and that is lying, and you can lie through your teeth, and they say you get thawab for it. At-taqiyya to tis'atu a'shari deenina, that taqiyya is 90% of our deen, they say Allah forbid. So this is what the Shias do. When I was there in Iran, 2013, so that's the time I came to learn that they say that Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by them, by the Shias, take place on the 17th of Ramadan. So therefore, they have a conference on the 12th of Rabiul Awal till the 17th. They invite some puppets and so forth. They give them money, you know, and the Sunnis. So then Sunnis will go on TV, on radio. 90% don't even know Farsi and Persian. And they will say that, yeah, we all must be united. And so they begged me and told me, please, they will give me this, bribing me. We'll give you money, we'll give you a hotel, we'll put you first class, we'll do this. It's only Allah's help came. We told them Islam is not for sale. We're not for sale. And see, when you do things for Allah, then Allah Ta'ala gives you. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. When you have taqwa, la talbat taqwa, like, you know. So you just pray, Ya Allah, protect me from this shayateen. Allah will make a way out from there for you. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْتُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah gives you risk from such avenues you never expected. So they asked me what you want. Mm-hmm. So I said, I want this. All these books here I see is for the conference. They said, yes. I said, okay, let me go and choose the books I want. So I took books in Arabic, in Urdu, and in English. I told them Farsi, even I forgot it. Mm-hmm. So you must remember that. So see, we came back with Khazana, with books from them. And today we use the same books to attack them and show they're 100% kuffar.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So the cut short, we say 12 Rabiul Awal, Shia say 17th Rabiul Awal. Everything of theirs is different. You can Kalima different, Adhan different, Namaz different, Hajj different. You must remember Huzu different. Everything. I haven't found one chapter that we are doing the same. Therefore, 100% kuffar.
So, Ustad, is it compulsory for a girl to convert to Islam if she wants to marry a Muslim guy, even if she doesn't want to change, Ustad?
So you must remember that you cannot marry a Muslim person until and unless you become a devoted, committed Muslim. Not that your name is Susie and Annie and all that, and now you fell in love with a Muslim guy because of his smart car, because of his wealth, because of some other reason. And you say, okay, just make my name Fatima, Zainab, Aisha, and I'll marry. But deep down in your heart, you don't have that belief. So you must remember, you not even Muslim then. Islam means surrender, submission to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and from the bottom of our heart. And therefore, this is the first hadith you will find in Bukhari Sharif, Mishkat Sharif, Riyadhul Salihin. And remember, people today just will get married and just change their name, but their hearts are devoid of it. You must have that belief, sister, if you're embracing Islam, that your salvation lies in it, whether you get married to that person or not. Innamal a'malu binniyat. Every person's actions are according to their intentions and motives. Wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa. For every person is whatever intention he made. Faman kana hijratuhu ila Allahi wa rasulihi, fa hijratuhu ila Allahi wa rasulihi. People migrated from Makkah to Medina in those days, in the time of the Prophet Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was compulsory and mandatory. They did it for the love of Allah, so the reward is by Almighty Allah and Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَنْ أَكَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا. Whosoever's intention is the worldly, academic career and pursuit of this world. أو إمرأةٍ or a female, and هي يتزوج إليه, he wants to get married to her, that فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. So there was one person, he came from Makkah to Medina, but the intention was not to please Allah or to please Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wanted to marry a lady there. So therefore, that was mentioned on that occasion there. So your intention is that you don't want to really believe. You just want to get married, and you know, superficially, top, you will say, yes, I'm Muslim. So remember, in that case, your Islam is not accepted, and for him to marry you is not possible.
Ustad, we're going to leave it there, inshallah. Your run down, inshallah, your program's throughout the day, Ustad.
The program, inshallah, that 5:01 after the Adhan, today is Wednesday, so we'll continue with the tafsir, inshallah, and that will be the Surah Fatir, chapter number 35, and verse number 11 will be the starting point. And 1:00 to 2:00, we'll continue with Surah Baqarah, and inshallah, this evening before Maghrib, we will be there at Avondale Musalla, inshallah, and there the talk will be, inshallah, regarding the Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It will be live on the various radio stations, inshallah, inshallah al-Aziz. So make dua, Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Allah, give us tawfiq, that we say the right words and the right things and becomes a means of hidayat and increase our iman, increase our love for Almighty Allah and Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallah khairan, maulana, barakallah fiqh, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our beloved Fadilatul Ustad, all the way from Durban. It's hot, and here in Johannesburg it is hotter. So we go next to Haji Abu Yusuf for the 12:00 news with Haji Yusuf Ali.